News Services Division of Akashwani presents Northeast Diary.
Good evening and a very warm welcome, dear listeners, to this another episode of Northeast Diary, your window into the vibrant cultures, inspiring stories and unfolding events across the eight jewels of India's Northeast. I'm Vinita Thakur, and in today's episode, we embark on a spiritual tour of the temples of Tripura. We'll also bring you a report on a workshop for terracotta artisans in Tripura and a glimpse of the Rasong National Tribal Music Festival, which recently concluded in Shillong. But first, let's explore the immense potential of horticulture in Mizoram. The northeastern state of Mizoram is a fertile ground for the promotion of horticultural products with rich soil and a favorable climate. The state has cultivated a wide range of horticultural produce over the years, a matter of pride for Mizoram as most of its produce is organic by nature. The state recently celebrated a horticulture fair with enthusiastic participation from farmers and the public. The event was held at Aijal Club Park in Aizawl from June 17th to 20th, 2025. Here is more from our correspondent Isaac.
Horticulture plays a significant role in Mizoram's economy, providing livelihood for a large portion of the population. The state government has also been actively promoting horticulture through various schemes and initiatives, aiming to increase population, improve quality and enhance market access for farmers. Speaking to Akashvani News, Dean College of Horticulture Tenzol, Dr. Sridhar, said that horticulture plays a pivotal role for the economic development of the state. He said that 85% of the geographical area of the state is under forest, with fertility giving a boon for cultivation of horticulture crops. Dr. Dar said that since the horticulture products of Mizoram are organic, it can yield high income for the farmers' community.
This horticulture is really very beneficial for the farmers and developing the economy of this Mizoram state, because it's the geographical conditions, if you can see, it's 85% area is under forest. Government has restricted it. So only 15% is left out, where all residential things, roads, etc. are being done. So you can imagine how much area is under cultivation. So looking to the farmer's perspective, if they will go for horticulture, really it is going to be boon for the Mizoram state, because Mizoram is being a, by default, organic farming. So organic farming in vegetable, organic farming fruit production, if it will be sold in the market with the organic track, it certainly be giving to the more income to the farmers as well as economy in particular to the state.
With the aim of promoting horticulture products in the state, the Mizoram government has organized a horticulture fair since 2012. This year too, horticulture fair was organized, witnessing the participation of more than 200 farmers. With lush green hills and fertility of the land, Mizoram has great prospects for the development of horticulture, thereby contributing to the economic growth of the state. With Gin Gangte, this is Isaac, Akashvani News, Aizawl.
In a bid to make local artisans self-reliant, the Department of Handicrafts, under the Ministry of Textiles, is conducting a month-long design and development workshop in Sefaijala district. As part of the National Handloom Development Program, terracotta artisans from Palpara are receiving specialized training. To know more, let's listen to this report by our Agartala correspondent Kunal Shinde.
The village of Palpara does not need any introduction, as it is one such village in the state which is known for making the idols of Goddess Durga. The villagers are inherently into the business of making beautifully designed idols of Goddess Durga, which have a huge demand across the state. After West Bengal, it is Tripura where the Durga Puja is celebrated on a large scale by the predominantly Bengali populace and even by the indigenous people from the state. An interesting aspect from the point of view of the clay that is used to make these idols is that it is procured from the surface of the ponds in the vicinity. Experts say that the clay used to make the idols is smooth and is ideal to make different types of terracotta products. The design and development workshop, which is underway at Palpara, specifically meant for the local terracotta artisans, emphasizes on market-oriented products, which have good demand in other major cities of the country, which can help them become Atmanirbhar.
Hi, I am Siddharth, a designer, and this is a workshop by the Ministry of Handicrafts along with the local center. And here local artists have been making toys and terracotta items for the traditional way for years. But through this program, we are training them to make products that people really wanted to buy in today's time. The artists used to make only particular things like idols of Durga Ma and Kali Ma and other idols, traditional items. But now we are helping them to learn new designs and along with techniques as well. The design would be like pen stands, planters and other useful terracotta items. The idea is to teach them modern techniques so they can earn better and reach the market with the right product. And I truly believe that using the medium of terracotta and blending it with the new modern design techniques, possibilities would be limitless.
Around 30 artisans from Palpara are being imparted training in this 50-day workshop. Apart from the training, the artisans are also being given a stipend of 300 rupees on daily basis. To know about their experiences, Akashvani spoke to some artisans.
I belong to Melagar Palpara. We have a local artist group called Melagar Palpara Udbastmesh Silpesh Samayve Samiti. This work has been our family for generations, long before I was born. My father and mother used to make traditional clay items. We generally make idols of God and goddesses like Kali, Ma Durga, Ma Saraswati, Lakshmi, Ma and Ganesh. Along with that, we also make and sell small clay toys near temples and ponds during fairs and festivals. This is our traditional business. We know how to work with clay, how to shape it, and we have a general idea of what people do like. But now times are changing, and I feel this work needs to be updated and to be supported so that it can survive. We want this art to grow, get better recognition, and continue with the next generation. This is not just business for us. This is our identity.
Such workshops to harness the local talent will certainly help the people from this northeastern state to come at par with those from the mainland India and showcase their skills in days to come. With Kunal Shinde's report, this is Shuman Bhattacharjee for Northeast Diary from Akashvani News, Agartala.
Celebrating the vibrant spirit of tribal heritage, Meghalaya recently hosted a unique musical gathering. Our correspondent Abhishek Mukhopadhyay takes us to the Soso Tham Auditorium in Shillong, where the Rasong National Tribal Music Festival 2025 brought together tribal artists from across India for two unforgettable days of rhythm, tradition and cultural pride.
The much-awaited Rasong National Tribal Music Festival 2025 has come to a grand close in Shillong. The two-day celebration wrapped up on Friday, June 27th at the Soso Tham Auditorium, leaving audiences mesmerized by the rich sounds and vibrant colors of India's tribal heritage. More than just a music festival, Rasong serves as a national platform dedicated to preserving and promoting the diverse tribal music and culture of India. This year, artists from 12 states, including the Northeast, Maharashtra, Rajasthan, Kerala and Madhya Pradesh, came together to showcase a spectacular blend of rhythm, melody and storytelling. Festival-goers enjoyed mesmerizing performances featuring traditional dancers clad in colorful tribal attire, accompanied by musicians playing handmade instruments. Each performance was a heartfelt narration of stories and traditions passed down through generations. The event was proudly organized by the Department of Arts and Culture and the Tribal Research Institute of Meghalaya, with support from the Ministry of Tribal Affairs. Meghalaya's Arts and Culture Minister Paul Lingdor highlighted the importance of the festival in giving much-needed recognition to tribal music.
And on my own behalf, I extend a very warm welcome to all our youths, cultural ambassadors who've traveled from far to be part of this two-day National Tribal Music Festival 2025, named Rasong. For me, the word Rasong reminds me of a book, a collection of essays, Panpanyin Lakarasong by Ma Ati Rambai, a volume that speaks of the wealth of our culture, of our practices, and of the communities that reside and are the proud inheritors of these hills. Today, as we celebrate tribal music, let me remind each one of you that to a tribal, music is intrinsic. Music is in our DNA, and therefore, we celebrate it day in and day out. There is a saying that music washes from the soul the dust of everyday living. Music is both food for the soul and therapy for the mind.
He also reaffirmed the government's commitment to including all tribes in future editions, ensuring wider representation.
As proud inheritors of these hills, we will continue to make music. We have made rapid strides. Today, just last year, we have adopted a state anthem, one of the few states in the country to have its own anthem. I urge upon all musicians to keep in mind, bear in mind, that music is not just a hobby, a pastime, or a profession. It should be a passion. It should transform you into the human being you are supposed to be.
The name Rasong itself, derived from both Khasi, Pnar, and Garo languages, perfectly captures the spirit of the festival, a joyous celebration of tribal music and arts from Meghalaya and beyond. Performers express their gratitude for the opportunity to share their unique cultural heritage. Dia Hajong from the Hajong tribe spoke about their Liwatana dance, which celebrates courtship and agricultural traditions.
So, welcome to the program. First of all, I want you to introduce yourself and then the name of your group.
Namaskar Hubako. My name is Dia Hajong. I'm representing the Hajong tribe. So they'll be performing the Lewatana dance today. The song means about courtship, which also means about the pulling of vines together, both the girls and the boys, in the field, and asking questions about each other.
So this is your first time performing at the Tribal Music Festival. How has your experience been so far?
Everyone, they have done very well, so I'm really proud of them. I hope so. Everyone outside who have been watching this, they are really proud of us.
And if there is one advice for, other musicians and who wants to showcase their talent, would you encourage them to come to a platform like this, and why?
Yes, obviously. The Hajong tribe were able to represent the tribe very much, so I would encourage all the youngsters who are all the Hajong people to come forward, represent us, be proud of us.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
A Nishi delegate from Arunachal Pradesh emphasized the importance of preserving tribal culture and its modern influences through their folk songs.
We are representing the land of rising sun, that is Arunachal Pradesh, and particularly we belong to Nishi tribe. And today, whatever we have performed, there is folk songs of Arunachal Pradesh, in particularly Nishi. And this song carries a lot of message. The message itself tells that the ornaments and all the elements that we have. Through these songs, we convey our youths, particularly that through the modernizations, we should not compromise our own origins and cultures. And the songs itself reflect the way of the warriors used to sing that much.
So describe a little bit about your outfit, as in, you know, just what you're wearing. I can see a lot of ornaments. Can you describe briefly for us?
Okay. The headgear I wear, that is called Nishi Padam. So Padam, this symbolizes the proud of our Nishi. Obviously representing here, we will obviously say it is the pride of Arunachal Pradesh. And moreover, we have wear these two type of, you know, we call it tasan and in Hindi mala. And this is decorated part. This has lots of value in our traditional. And now shorts, we carry shorts. So typically we are belongs to the tribal area. So dao is used for many purpose. To survive, to gather, you know, firewood and all. And if necessity, it used in wars also. In this, now we didn't go for that, but it used for many purposes. And another, this is called sake. We call it, in Hindi, we used to call it muna, but in Nishi, it's called sake. At that time, our ancestor used to carry this, whatever they got from, collect from jungles and all, it's used for carrying the things. And this is the clothes we wear is called the obio, and it has already recognized in national center also. This will be the tradition of our Nishi.
Okay, my last question to you is, you were here yesterday.
Yes.
You just performed today. If you have to come back next year again, will you come back and tell me why?
Surely, if I got the chance, I will surely wish to come back. Because we came here to enjoy, to witness the beauty of our nations. Because our nations, the most beautiful part is its diversity. So we come here to display our own cultures, and we have exchanges, and we have witnesses a lot of you know, tribal folks, music and dance from other part of states. So I'm very privileged, and obviously if we got chance, then we will wish to come in this music festival.
Brilliant. Thank you so much.
Meanwhile, Geena Rajkumari from Assam expressed excitement about the festival's diversity and the chance to connect with artists from across the Northeast.
Before we talk about those two performances, I want you to introduce yourself and your group first.
Thank you so much for giving me opportunity to talk with you. My name is Geena Rajkumari. We are from Assam. We are sending us from TRI department in Assam. So my group, we are coming 8 artists. So we perform here National Tribal Music Festival. It is a great opportunity to all of us, lots of state participating in this event. That event can help us to change our culture. We have a unity of diversity, we can sharing. So we are getting a lot of fun and very good experience. So today we perform one of Hajang community, the Lewatona dance and song. And other is missing tribes, it's Oinitom, like Bihu song. The missing community has celebrated their own tradition in own song and music. We are getting a very good reaction from the audience, and we are so happy to participate in this event. We are getting so many lots of fun. We like Meghalaya, always like Meghalaya, and it is a heaven like a heaven.
So my last question to you is, you know, you were here yesterday as well.
Yes.
Now you're here today. This is the last day. How's your experience so far?
A very good experience, because this time from Kerala, Maharashtra, Madhya Pradesh, lots of people,
Rajasthan
come from different state, right? Northeast we meet together so many times, but they are come from so far, and they have no get in touch with the Northeast Indian people in face to face. I think they will be happy. They are very happy and great, a good experience about our Northeast and beauty of Meghalaya.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for your time, and have a great stay while you're here.
Thank you so much.
The Rasong Festival continues to be a vital platform for indigenous tribes to celebrate, preserve and share the traditional music and dance, keeping the vibrant cultures alive for generations to come. This is Abhishek Mukhopadhyay with Aaron Lingdor, reporting for Northeast Diary from Akashwani News, Shillong.
Folks, now let's head over to Tripura with our special correspondent, Soma Basu, as she explores the spiritual and architectural richness of the region's temples.
The princely state of Tripura is considered to be the Gomukh of Northeast. Gomukh, that is an auspicious emblem. Tripura is a political entity as well, with legions tracing its existence to the days of epic Mahabharata. It is also the ancient land of mysterious past. It has ever been a melting pot for tribal and non-tribal cultures, producing an exotic cultural synthesis. We begin our pilgrimage from Udaipur, some 55 kilometers away from Agartala, which is the capital of Tripura. It houses the temple of Tripura Sundari, considered to be one of the 51 pithas mentioned in the Hindu Tantras. This Kali temple, popularly known as Mata Bari, crowns the Kalyan Sagar hillock with a wide expanse of water on its east. Consisting of a square-type sanctum, so typical of Bengali huts, the Mata Bari is served by the red-robed priests who traditionally minister to the Mother Goddess. It is known that the temple was first constructed by Maharaja Dhanya Manikya in 1501 AD. It was repaired by Maharaja Rama Manikya in 1681 AD when it was damaged by lightning, and again by Maharaja Radha Kishorpur Manikya in the beginning of the century. According to an inscription note on the monuments in the Tripura state visited by the Director General Archaeology of India in 1952, there are two identical images of Tripura Sundari inside the temple. The one called Chotima appears to be the original and measures about 2 feet, while the other is about 5 feet. It is difficult to date the image of Chotima accurately as it is worn out. Moreover, the attributes in her hands are either too much blurred or lost. The inspection note also observes that Goddess Tripura Sundari, being the tutelary deity of the Tripura Raj, seems to have been brought by these rulers and may perhaps be dated to the 15th century AD, even on grounds of style. For it has the four-armed goddess standing in Sthanaka pose on the body of Shiva. She wears the Jatamukuta, a Munda Mandala consisting of 13 human skulls. Beyond this age-old temple, there is a big tank called Dhani Sagar, the abode of old tortoises, looking forward to pilgrims for food offerings. It is said, when any of these wise tortoise is to die, it approaches the altar of the temple and breathes its last there. Another Shakta temple worth paying a visit is Kasba Kalibari. Like the Tripura Sundari temple of Udaipur, Kasba Kalibari is also situated on a hillock overlooking a wide pool of water called Kamala Sagar. An interesting sandstone image of the goddess resembling Dashabhuja Durga or Mahisasur Mardini is erroneously worshipped as a Kali due to the presence of a Shivalinga at its feet. Now, this is considered to be a rare evidence in the field of Hindu iconography, and the image is assigned to 15th century AD. Famous not only from the pilgrim's point of view, the Jagannath temple in Agartala is a remarkable architectural feat with its octagonal base and its impressive pradikshina path around the sanctum. The pillars are crowned by a square pyramidal cone arising above a multifoil niche which comes at the level of the terrace. It is indeed a connoisseur's delight. On the southwest bank of the famous Jagannath Dighi, in the heart of the Udaipur town, which was once the capital of Tripura, is found the ruins of Jagannath Temple, a rare specimen of temple architecture in Tripura. There are two schools of thought regarding the temple here. According to Udaipur Bibaran, Daitya Narayana, the general-in-chief of Maharaja Vijaya Manikya in 1529 to 1560 AD, brought the image of Lord Jagannath from Puri and installed it here. This image was afterwards removed from this temple and kept at Komila. But according to the author of Silalipi Samagraha, the temple was built and dedicated to Vishnu, jointly by Maharaja Govinda Manikya and his younger brother Jagannath Deva in 1661 AD. In a style characteristic of Mohammedan fashion, the Jagannath temple is a typical temple with a vertical portion built of stone and the top crowned with a dome with vaulted roof. The oldest ruins of this region are to be found at Unkoti, about 200 kilometers from Agartala. Huge figures of the Hindu deities and epic characters have been found carved on both sides of a meandering hill rack emerging from bushes. and awesomeness fills the atmosphere as one journeys through this grand panorama of picturesque hills at the background and confronts the colossal figures of Hindu pantheon cut out of rocks. The hilly Tirtha Unkoti, which means one less than a crore, is a holy shrine reckoned as one of the most sacred pilgrimages to eastern India. According to the archaeological report, Unkoti is a Saivya pilgrimage at least from the 8th or 9th century. The images on the rocky walls of the hills here are mainly of two types, rock-carved figures and stone images. Among the rock-carved figures, the central Shiva head and the enormous Ganesha figure deserve a special mention. Among the other images which leave an indelible impression in the mind for their fine execution are the Chaturmukha and Trimukha lingas, which are worshipped at an elevation of Unkoti Hills. The three faces of Shiva are carved on the three sides of its Rudra Bhaga and the back face is damaged. Yet another image of the linga bears four well-carved figures shown up to the waist on the four sides of its Puja Bhaga. The 11th or 12th century image of Ekamukha Linga is placed on the upward slope of Unkoti Hills. The shape of this linga is spherical and the face of Shiva is carved on it. At the top of the hill, images of Vishnu, Panchamukha, Ravana, Narasimha, seated Ganesha, Hanuman, etc. are found. There are many more images which are yet to be identified, but images having stamp of many known and obscure religious cults tend to prove that though initially started as a center of Saivya pilgrimage, other religious sects did not lag behind in the art of rock carving at Unkoti in view of its outstanding religious importance. The South Tripura district has many important places to visit. Radhakishorpur, formerly known as Udaipur, stands on the left bank of River Gumti. The ruins of the old palace of Govinda Manikya Bahadur and the famous Bhubaneswar temple situated there are now surrounded by dense jungles. However, the palace and the temple have been immortalized through Tagore's famous plays Rajarshi and Bishorjun. On the right bank of River Gumti is the Tripureshwari temple. It is a Satipitha, a place where parts of Sati's dismembered body were said to have fallen. A myth goes that right leg of Sati fell there. The Benu Bana Bihar, a Buddhist temple in Agartala, bears testimony to the fact that from the years of yore, Tripura has been extending hospitality and patronage to the religion and culture of its neighbors. The three temples constituting the Mahadeva Bari are erected in a well-defined enclosure. The sanctum of the temple is circular from the base, and in that respect, it differs from the temples of the Gunavati group and neighboring shrines of Udaipur. This temple was built in 1672 AD. The hydroelectric power station at Dumbur Lake near Nootan Bazaar is also a holy place of visit. 73 miles from Agartala, the source of Gumti is mainly a pilgrimage for both the tribals and the non-tribals who flock the place every year on the occasion of Posh Sankranti in the month of January for a holy dip in the placid water of the Dumbur Lake. The place, unique for its scenic beauty, is also the site for a large fair where the tribal population make annual purchases for their families. The Peak of the Gods, or Deotamora as it is called, is an extensive range of hills situated in between Udaipur and Amarpur subdivisions. This has become a place of tourist interest owing to a panel of images found carved on the hills facing River Gumti. It is really astonishing to see such a good number of images carved high up on the steep rocky wall of the hill covered with thick jungles. The images are no doubt crude in conception like those at Udaipur, but may not be so antique. So, that was Tripura, the enchanting land of delectable range of temples.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Northeast Diary. Join us again next week, same time, for more inspiring stories from this enchanting part of India. Until then, goodbye and do take very good care of yourself.
This program was presented and produced by Vinita Thakur. It was brought to you by the News Services Division of Akashwani.